Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Let me tell you about this great new ride at California's Disneyland. You stand in line, spend the day in crowds of kids, then you go home and your skin breaks out in little red spots. Yes, the big wow at the oldest Disney theme park is measles these days. A measles outbreak to the park has infected dozens of Disneyland visitors. Joining us is Dr. Shruti Gohil, who's Associate Medical Director for Epidemiology and Infection Prevention at the University of California, Irvine Medical Center. Doctor, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me.
So I have one sort of confusion here. I'm surprised that Disneyland would be a vector for measles since so many tourists go there, not so much locals. How does this work?
Well, it really has to do with the number of people that you see in any one place congregated together. And Disneyland sure is a very large sort of congregation, so to speak. Every day you see hundreds of thousands of people.
And so what have you noticed in terms of infection rates, and how do you gauge whether it's just isolated cases versus a real pattern?
Well, you know, this is unusual. You know, in all the years that Disneyland has been running, this is the first, you know, sort of measles outbreak that we have seen. So, you know, obviously it's not the most common thing. It really has to do with the population that happens to be going there and how many of the people are foreign tourists who have not been immunized against measles or who might be carrying measles, because measles is still quite active in other parts of the world. And then a combination of that and the number of people who are unvaccinated who are susceptible to acquiring measles. If your vaccination rates are high, then you're more likely to have a controlled situation in which outbreaks are less likely.
Is Southern California a pocket of unvaccinated young people?
Well, you know, California, like many other states in the nation, has in place personal belief exemptions and other types of policies that have been in effect for about a decade that allow parents to opt out vaccinations despite having access to public schools. And so California, I wouldn't say, is unique in the way that that type of legislation has borne out. But yes, we have pockets of areas, particularly in the coastal areas, particularly in affluent areas, where parents are more likely to use that personal belief exemption and opt out of vaccines.
What is the danger? Remind us, since it's been so long that measles was a problem. I remember the issue of German measles and birth defects, but what is the danger of measles as an infection?
Sure. You know, it's a very, very important question. We're victims of our own success. It's been a wonderful advance that vaccines have blanketed our country enough to where we see minimal in not communicable diseases in the era that we used to see them. Back, you know, if you dial back to the late 50s or early 60s, people used to die of measles, right? So one out of every 20 children with measles gets pneumonia. One out of every child who gets measles, out of 1,000 children who get measles, will develop encephalitis. Encephalitis was a very prominent cause of developmental disability in that era. And one out of every child who gets measles will die from measles. Now, if you take that, we don't have to dial back too far. If you take it globally, 122,000 people die of measles every year. That's a pretty big number.
And in terms of other diseases besides measles, is there a threat of polio? Is there a threat of some of the other diseases which have an even higher visibility?
Sure, absolutely. Other parts of the country, other parts of the world, we do have poorer vaccination rates. That has to do with a combination of many things, including political instability and poverty and other issues like belief patterns about vaccines. And so we do see outbreaks of both measles and polio and other types of illnesses. It's not unique to measles, but measles is far more contagious. It has a transmission rate that's quite high. 90% of susceptible people will become ill with measles. So then measles outbreaks often tend to be higher in number.
All right. Before we go, you have to deal with parents, I suspect, and lots of doctors do. What's your advice on pitching parents with the idea that whatever their belief pattern is, they should get immunized. And have you done that yourself?
Yeah. I do. I understand patients and parents and why there's hesitation, because many of the things that are available on the internet and other reading type of material really makes the vaccination issue problematic, particularly in light of the fact that doctors don't often have time to communicate with patients. And I try to remind our patients that we both want the same thing for the children. And if, again, you look back, we have not really understood how bad these types of communicable diseases can be in our era. And I try to remind them of these statistics. And often parents, once they realize what the complications can be, and if you weigh the risk and benefit, the risks of the vaccine causing complications and those numbers against the numbers of susceptibility if you were to actually acquire measles, then it far weighs heavily on the side of benefit to taking the vaccine.
And does that work? Does that convince them?
Yes. More often than not, I have been successful with that.
All right. Dr. Shruti Gohil is Associate Medical Director for Epidemiology and Infection Prevention at UC Irvine Medical Center. Doctor, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Talking about measles and a measles outbreak at Disneyland, which underscores the unvaccinated population in Southern California and other places around the United States.
He's the man with all the toys.
Speaking of California and California culture, who hasn't seen Frisbees on the beach? What was your favorite toy growing up? We're going to be talking with the former marketing director of Wham-O, my favorite toy company, certainly. From Alpharetta, Georgia, Big Wheel. What could beat a big plastic tricycle with a handbrake on the rear wheel? The skids and spins were thrilling.
Hi, it's Wendy Sherman from New York City. This will show my age, but my favorite toy were roller skates that you had to put on with a key. They let me fly down the sidewalks of Manhattan.
Hi, this is Tom Colling from Dallas. Our favorite toys were Hot Wheels. My brother and I both loved running the cars on the tracks with the loops, and they were the best toys ever.
Oh, I had so many Hot Wheels. And you know, if you sucked those into the vacuum cleaner, you'd have to buy a new vacuum cleaner. Have your say at 877-8-MY-TAKE and follow us on Twitter at The Takeaway. All one word, at The Takeaway.
He's the man with